Due to police checks, it's been delayed and we think it's stunted the growth a bit. It was sown on the 9th of December, and ideally it goes in the third week of November, the middle to the third week.
So what are your expectations for seed?
Yes, seed, it's our third year of growing the crop, so we've had the previous 2 years have been quite good. So last year it went 1.9 tons, and hopefully this year it can go sort of close
Come close to that.
to. I did a gross margin at the end of last year, and it was costing us about $1,500 a hectare to grow, and ideally we can make about $1,700 a hectare from the crop. And the growing period's only about 3.5 months, so it's quite a short-term crop.
So 28 hectares, it's still a big commitment, isn't it?
Yes, it is. So that's why we've got to be particular on our input costs. The biggest trick with growing hemp, I believe, is weed control and the initial emergence, because we usually take a cut of silage off this in the beginning of November, and then the hemp seed actually goes to get dried first and cleaned, which is quite an expensive part of growing hemp. It can cost anywhere between $400 and $500 a ton, and then they press the seed for oil.
And that oil, an industrial oil, because it can't be used for food?
Yes, well, it's used for body lubrication. Yeah, and unfortunately, we can't actually use it for human consumption at the moment.
Thanks, Nick. Nick Mills, George Mills, this is a continuing source of what for you, the constraints and limits to growth?
Well, it's beyond aggravation because it's beyond all sensible rationale at all. We've been trying to grow hemp now for 15 years to get it legal. That's industrial hemp. The last 8 years have been severely constrained by government bureaucracy, inter-department duck shoving of the situation. The politicians won't grasp it. And finally, we've ended up with the ludicrous situation where Fsanz,
Food Standards Australia, New Zealand, the regulatory body for both here and New Zealand?
Correct. And they're having a meeting in New Zealand where they have allowed it to be ingested by humans in New Zealand for all the benefits of the omega-3s and the omega-6s, like fish oil. It's allowed in New Zealand, but they haven't allowed it in Australia. So the only conclusion they can come to is that if they don't allow it in Australia, they'll have to stop the ingestion of hemp products in New Zealand.
Now, we've just caught a nice shower of rain. Do you mind getting wet?
Not at all.
We say duck shoving. What do you think's really going on?
Well, I think quite simply, we have a situation where no one is prepared to make the stance and realise that growing industrial hemp has got nothing to do with growing high THC hemp. In fact, the more industrial hemp, low THC hemp that is grown, it will cross-pollinate with the high THC hemp and consequently reduce the THC levels in high THC hemp, reducing the potential of hemp to be used as a drug. So industrial hemp should be grown everywhere. I mean, apart from the fact that the oil mirrors fish oil in the omega-3s and the omega-6s, which can be used for humans, people to ingest. It can be fed as a supplement to fish in fish farms to enhance their omega-3s and omega-6s in fish products. The byproduct of hemp, of course, has a myriad of uses, from paper to clothing, building materials. It's a magnificent product. And here in Australia, we've been constrained by people who have no financial input into it, don't risk anything, but will not make a decision. We lose money because of these bureaucrats and governments who will not make the sensible decisions.
Given the history with the regulation of this crop, what are your expectations for this briefing and meeting in New Zealand?
Well, you know, let's hope that they can change 20 years of stupidity and really get the industry going. We are 20,000 hectares behind Canada. We're behind New Zealand. Tasmania was trying to be the clever state and innovative state in agriculture, and we're being hamstrung by people who will not make the proper decisions.
Well, you say hamstrung, but it's conceivable that people think, well, you've got a 28-hectare crop in here now. Why do we need to go the next step?
Well, we need to go to the next step to increase the production of hemp products altogether. Why would we be wanting to import hemp products when we can grow them here and, in fact, utilise all of the assets of a hemp crop?
Finally, George, the bureaucracy, the red tape, how has it affected this crop?
Well, this has been affected by a late sowing caused by the delay in police checks. Now, I find this extraordinary. This is a harmless product, and why you would have police checks for it anyway is beyond ridiculous. But as a poppy grower, an ASIC card holder, a firefighter, I've had all the police checks, and still they needed to have more police checks to see if I could grow a crop that is quite harmless. That delayed the sowing, severely delayed, and consequently the growth of the crop is half what it normally is, which may well affect the yield of the crop. One would presume it would affect the yield of the crop.
How do you live with that?
Well, it just goes on with the nonsense surrounding the growing of industrial hemp. And I think all of us farmers are getting sick of this red tape and nonsense. And we need the governments to make the decision to go ahead and allow the human ingestion of hemp and allow the hemp industry to grow in the state. It would be the answer to the forestry debate, where there is a push all the time to use forest products for things such as paper. It takes the heat off that, because hemp products, everything from paper to clothing to building materials, it's a magnificent product.